Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 12th of March, Anno Domini 2016, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Hey, Linton, I can't see anything. Okay, we're going to be getting a text message very shortly. Adobe's much beleaguered Flash media player is having another bad day. An emergency update was released by Adobe Systems on Thursday after 23 loopholes in the software were discovered. 23. The company issued a security advisory explaining that there have been a limited number of targeted attacks as one of the loopholes became actively exploited. Adobe is urging people to install the latest software update as quickly as possible, no matter whether they're running Windows, Macs, or Linux. That's right. Everybody's vulnerable. Nobody gets to be smug. Not sure whether you have Flash installed or have automatic updates switched on? Adobe has a simple tool that lets you check, and Steve will put that up online shortly. If not immediately. The critical rating assigned to this particular vulnerability means that if it is exploited by hackers, malicious code could be executed and your computer taken over, potentially without you being aware of it. This could be used to spy on you or steal your data. All it would take for your computer to be affected is for you to be ambushed by a rogue Flash-powered web page or ad. The vulnerability is just the latest in a series of major security flaws that Adobe has been forced to acknowledge. Flash was once the darling of the internet, used for running games, powering graphics, streaming media inside web browsers, but its heyday is well and truly over, with many tech companies fed up with its many security vulnerabilities and the toll it takes on smartphone batteries. High-profile critics of Flash have ranged from Apple's late CEO Steve Jobs to Facebook security chief Alex Stamos. No relation. I don't know. Last year, Google announced that Flash ads would no longer run by default in its popular Chrome web browser, and it is also blocked by default in Firefox. Citing the many problems with the software, some tech execs and security researchers have recommended disabling or uninstalling it completely. I personally not only recommend that, but I also recommend giggling maniacally while you do it. Adobe has credited researchers from Google, Alibaba, Microsoft, Kaspersky, and other organizations for helping it to catch the bugs. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Flash, 23 new vulnerabilities. And your choices are, is that all? But my games, I'm going to stop using Flash. And you still use Flash? Sheesh. So far, we've got 25 voters. Is that all? You cynical sons of guns is the number one, followed by you still use Flash? Sheesh. Now, I know you'll have more to say about this, particularly those of you who still use Flash to play your online Zynga games. So if you scroll down on the right-hand side of our website under Fascinating Stuff, the first choice is the forums. The second forum in is the poll discussion, and so far, the first choice on that page is 12 Mars 16, Flash, 23 new vulnerabilities. Right now, I'm the only post in there, but I'm sure others will be doing it shortly. And then, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
I'm getting ready to post that link for the Flash version checker.
Yeah.
It's Adobe Flash Player is the standard for developing high-impact, rich web contact designs, animations, and application user interfaces are deployed immediately across all browsers and platforms, attracting and engaging users with a rich web experience.
That must be from Adobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably they haven't changed that in 20 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they were right 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Everybody was using Flash, even though way back then we were saying it was not secure.
And the alternative was animated GIFs.
And yes, yeah. It was animated GIFs. And but you didn't have interactivity with animated GIFs.
Right.
And so that was a problem. But now we have HTML5, which is both much more secure and a much better platform to do that stuff in. We're seeing a lot of people strictly using HTML5 now. Google's YouTube no longer uploads things in Flash. It used to be 20 years ago when you uploaded a video to YouTube, it converted it to Flash so that it could play it on every browser. Then for a while, you had the choice, if you were logged into YouTube, of uploading or viewing things in HTML5 or Flash. Now, I don't believe they give you that choice anymore. I think it's just HTML5. HTML5 rich video is much better than Flash because it takes fewer resources on your machine, less impact, and is as clean and, in fact, does higher resolution. So Flash needs to die. It's needed to die for a very long time, and the only reason it's still alive, as near as I can tell, is Zynga.
Inertia, yeah, old game. Well, and one of the crazy things is that Adobe announced the end of Flash because they renamed it to something else.
Yeah, right, exactly. But you know, nobody, just stop using it. Uninstall it from your machines and stop using it. And unless you're playing Zynga games, you don't need it.
And that's one of the things. If you uninstall Flash, most of the websites you go to will realize you don't have Flash installed and automatically switch over to something better.
HTML5. Yeah, something faster. Yeah.
Yeah. Very rarely will you find that Flash doesn't work. I do not have Flash on my Chromebook. I've never gone anywhere I couldn't get.
Yeah, same with mine.
You know, of course, I don't play Zynga games, so be aware of that, although my wife does, and she's played them on this, and they ran fine, even without Flash, so I don't know. Anyway, to the phones. Our first caller is James from Rochester, New York. Hiya, James. What's up?
Yeah, I have a question on the browsing history on Internet Explorer 11. If you go to the options and then the general tab, it says browsing history, delete. What is the best settings for that? I use CCleaner and want to delete the stuff on my own so that the web pages would stay until I use the CCleaner. Should I uncheck everything?
Well, sure. If you don't want IE 11 to delete your web browsing history, then you don't have to run the delete in IE 11. It won't.
There's a check mark in the box where it says delete browsing history on exit.
Oh, right. If you set that up, then whenever you exit IE 11, your browsing history will go away. If you don't want that to happen, uncheck it.
Uncheck that. And then if you go to the next browsing history boxes, it says preserve favorites, temporary history, cookies, and all that stuff. Should that all be unchecked also?
Well, if Internet Explorer is not being allowed to delete anything, the rest of that is ignored.
Oh, so just...
That only pertains if you're letting IE delete your history.
So if you have that first box unchecked where it's not deleting, then the rest of them just be like that also.
Right.
Oh, okay. And if I uninstall Flash, you were talking about, how will these videos run on Internet Explorer? Like if I go to CNN or something, they have a video. Will that run still?
Honestly, I've not used IE 11 to run any videos on CNN. Certainly, I know that Chrome runs them fine. I know that Firefox runs them fine. I have not used IE 11. I'm sorry.
Unless will creep through.
Right, but theoretically, the web server, so CNN, will just send you an HTML video. It won't send you a Flash video.
Right.
Okay, so then I don't need the Flash.
No.
In most cases, no.
Like I said, unless you are playing certain Zynga games.
No, I don't play those games.
Then you shouldn't need Flash at all anymore.
Okay, I'll uninstall it.
Go for it, let us know if there's a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah. And James, if you're still listening, which I hope you are, you can certainly uncheck all that other stuff. It doesn't hurt to uncheck it. And that way, if you accidentally somehow found yourself running the delete command in IE11, it still wouldn't delete any of those things. So it doesn't hurt to uncheck them, certainly. But, you know, if you're not going to do undeleting through that, it shouldn't be a problem. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Vic from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Vic. What's up?
Hey, guys. I finally got my Samsung Galaxy S7 Tuesday, and it's pretty cool, except there's a couple things that I'm not understanding. I signed up for my Hotmail is my email, mm-hmm. and I set it up, and I get all my emails, but none of my folders have anything. And what I'm getting is, it says, you may have emails that have not been retrieved from the server, but it's been since Tuesday.
Did you set it up as POP or IMAP?
That's a real good question. I can't tell you, Steve.
You'll go into your settings and check. It probably should be IMAP. That's the best way to do mail these days, because then it will also synchronize with your other devices. So if you delete a message on one device, it gets deleted from the other ones, too.
Yeah, because POP will just bring it down to that one and won't show on the others.
Oh, okay.
That it should tell you in the settings what kind of...
I'm getting 12 gigs of data, and I know that's a lot, right?
It
can be.
When you say you're getting, does that mean that's what you're paying for through your carrier?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a lot, and that's not bad.
But be careful when you're streaming video, because, you know, 12 gigs could be 3 movies.
Yeah, no, I don't plan on doing that, Steve. But my question on data is, when you're getting text and sending text and reading emails and reading books, is data being used...
If it's a text, that's not data, that's text plan.
Okay.
But sending and receiving emails is, yes. Downloading a book, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the book,
no.
But it depends on what book reader you're using, because many of them will sync the page you're on up to the server. So if you read that same book on another device, it knows what page you left off on.
And the other thing is, too, which I had the 6 gig plan myself, but there are so many places that you can tap into to the Wi-Fi that's free that doesn't use your data.
Most people will check their data plan or their data usage for a month or two, see how much you're typically using, and then you may be able to lower your data plan and save some money.
Yeah, I'm talking primarily at home. With my books, there was a Kindle app, and I clicked on it, and it took all my books that were on my Kindle, so I can read them on my Samsung
right now. And the Kindle app does synchronize the pages you're on, so there's a little tiny bit of data that it uses to say he's on page 16, and then when you go to your other device, it knows that.
And again,
that's a little tiny bit, so that shouldn't cause too much.
And Vic, while you're also, you know, since you're doing it at home, if you got wireless, again, tap into your wireless, and then you're not using your data.
Right. Now, but Dave, should it be on all the time when I'm at home? Does it matter?
You're wireless?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
And then you don't use your data plan. The one thing leaving Wi-Fi on all the time does do is use a little bit of battery.
Yeah, a little.
But since you're home, you can just plug it in.
Right, yeah. It does use a battery up pretty good.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing, too, is that charger unit that comes with the 7 charges it. It's super fast, too.
It was like an hour. We got home from the Eastman last night. I had 12% battery. In an hour and 9 minutes, it said it took the charge. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who is your carrier?
It's Verizon.
Verizon has an app called My Verizon, and one of the things it has is a little data app that you can put on your home screen or any one of your screens, of course, and it shows how much data you've used for the month.
All right. Okay. I'm aware of that one. One last thing. Bloatware. Now, I read where they come with a lot of bloatware, but I can't tell what apps are. Which apps?
Well, pretty much anything that came on the phone when you first got it that you wouldn't normally use anyway is bloatware.
Bloatware.
So,
well,
for example,
if ringtone apps.
Yeah.
Should I leave them on? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't hurt.
You can leave on anything you want. It's your machine. Do what you like.
I use Zedge to get a lot of different ringtones. It's a free app, and you can download a lot of free ringtones.
Yeah, I went to the Google Play Store because I had the Android, and I downloaded three different apps, and it was pretty cool. I amazed at all the different kinds of phones you can get, but...
All right, good.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you. 19 minutes after the hour. I'm choking up here. I love this so much. Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I feel like we should be at the hockey game.
Exactly. At 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Dennis from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Dennis. Talk to me.
Hi. I got a comment and then a question.
Yes.
I thought I was pretty savvy in terms of avoiding scams and stuff, but I was looking for Gmail support, a phone number, and I haven't resolved that problem, so I'm going to ask you about that.
There isn't one.
Well, I dialed a number.
Oops.
And I got a guy, and he asked me my name, and then he asked me my birth date, which I gave to him. And at that point, he says, I need to get into your computer to take care of your problem. Well, at that point, I said, I told him no. And he said, it's going to be $89. And
wow, that's cheap.
Yeah.
They usually tell you
$300. Only $89 to take over your machine. That's a bargain.
Yeah.
So at that point, I said, forget it, and I hung up. But he did get my name and birth date. I don't know how important that is. Well, and a username that I use for a different email account that is not Gmail. So I don't know how.
You should change your, well, change your passwords immediately.
I'm going to do that. Is name and birth date a big deal or not?
Not a big deal, but a deal.
Yeah.
We see it all the time on Facebook, where they have this, you know, find out your ninja name or whatever, and it's the first letter of your first name and your birthday month. Well, guess what? That tells them information about you. So every time you take one of those quizzes, you're giving them information. These people asking on the phone are getting information. That information by itself doesn't mean much.
But what they can then do is they can go to Google or Yahoo or PayPal or Citibank and say, I forgot my password. And the website will ask them to prove it's you. And so, oh, here's my birthday. You know, here's my email address.
And if they want more, then you're safe.
But
so if you haven't set up like a security question on any of those sites, you should go do that immediately.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of that username that I also gave them. So my problem is a few years ago, I set up one Gmail account, which I ended up not using very much. And I wanted to go in and just delete that and start a new Gmail account because I didn't want to use that one for a few different reasons. I would sign in, and then it asked me for a password, and it wouldn't take. So I kept going through this recovery process, and every time I, you know, tried different things that they told me to do, but I still was never able to get into the account so that I could delete it. And my question is, what do I do? Is there a phone number I can call?
No. In general, there are no phone numbers for any internet companies.
Oh.
It's all done through email.
Yep.
If you can find an email address, that's even better.
Right.
But I'm looking at Gmail's on how to delete your account. You can just ignore it, which is one way people do it.
Yeah, well, that was the thought I finally had.
Well, here's the other thing, though. All right, if you're not going to use that old one, all right, say you've got to go to other places and and they want an email address and you really don't want them to have, you know, your current one,
mm-hmm.
You just give them the old one. So it goes there and it's just a bucket that, you know, you use it for junk mail.
Or, yeah, you make an address that you only use for junk mail.
And that one, you just use it as a junk mail. So if you're filling out something and you know they're going to pass it around and everything else, because a lot of places do that. You just give them the old junk mail one, and you create a new one to use that you only discreetly pass out and use for only, you know, people that you can trust.
That's a great idea. I like that. So I guess then I'm going to let that other account just sit there forever and on Google servers. And
you can also, by the way, retrieve. You can also recover your password.
I tried that. They asked me questions, and when I got to the point of put in your recovery email address, which I did, which is with a I'm going to say it's with Blue Frog because
it doesn't matter. You have a different address, and you were using that.
And then they told me we can't verify you start the recovery process all over again, or we can't verify. Yeah, so that's where I always ended up. So
well, set up your new Google account and use that as your recovery address.
But you can't change the recovery address of the old account until you can log into the old account.
Well, no, it's going to ask him what account he wants to use.
Right, on the new account, but trying to get back into your old account.
Yeah, that's not going
to allow
change
that old recovery address
to get to that old account that was set up 3 years ago, right?
Right, and so if you don't have access,
just ignore it and leave it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Yep. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep.
And that's sort of the common way we're seeing these days that people accidentally get sucked into these scams is they're searching for tech support.
Mm-hmm.
And so you search for Microsoft support, Google support, Yahoo support. None of those you find are going to probably be the actual company itself because all the ads are coming in front of it. At least on Google, it makes the ads a little more noticeable as ads. And so if you're searching for Yahoo support, you almost don't even have to search for that. Go to yahoo.com. Anytime you want to go know something about a company or get help from that company, go to that company name.com and you'll almost always find that company.
Right.
And so you don't need to search for help because you already know the address. It's the company name.com.
Right.
But what always gets me, interested is you go to Bing and search for Microsoft help. And even on Microsoft's own search engine, searching for Microsoft's own help numbers, you still get 8 or 10 ads first.
Always get the ads first.
Yeah.
Always get the ads first. And all I have to do is buy an ad and say I'm Microsoft support, put a number in there, and I come up at the top of the search.
Yeah.
Because I bought an ad. Ads come first. Yeah. There's just no way you're ever going to have phone numbers for these places. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I used to have...
Microsoft does have a phone number that I can find, but they're hard to find quite frequently.
Right.
Because running a phone service for help is expensive at their end. It's much easier to do
email.
Well, they will charge
email.
You. They will, the first thing they'll do is ask for a credit card number.
And a lot of the companies will do live chat, and many companies will do remote support where they'll log into your computer and try to fix your problem. But and the bad guys have now usurped that good tool that we good guys have been using for years.
Right.
So now the bad guys will break into your, will ask to be let into your computer and clean out your account.
Right. I do have a list of customer support numbers. I don't know if any of them are still valid. It's not a new
list,
but I do have a list of a bunch of stuff.
Talk about support and people in Microsoft. I was updating a laptop for an individual to Windows 10, and I noticed they changed their wording now. Get Windows now, Windows 10 now free.
Yep.
So again, going back to they're starting to set the stage. That something's going to happen,
Windows 10 is free. The next version will not be.
Right.
They've already said
They've changed the wording. Where Windows 10 used to be optional, now it's recommended.
Yes.
And eventually it will become required.
Right.
By next month, I can see them changing the wording because by April,
when they originally said it would be free for a year, the assumption was that at the end of that year, you'd have to pay for it. They have since said Windows 10 will be free forever. Free upgrade.
Right.
You got to remember that. If you want a
free upgrade.
Upgrade from your previous Windows. If you're building your own computer, you have to buy Windows 10, $150 or whatever it is outright.
Right.
I wonder what the leasing...
Or you just put Linux in it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just wondering, trying to just purely speculate whether it'll be like, you know, like they've done before, upgrades for, you know, which in this case, it won't be called an upgrade. It'll be called a license fee, which I'm thinking is going to be around $100.
And probably,
that's my prediction.
A year.
$100 a year.
Yeah, I suspect it'll be something, it'll be $99.99 a year.
I'm wondering, you know, like companies.
For maybe for five computers.
Corporations,
that's what
though.
That's what offices now.
Yeah, but corporations and other places like universities and all that, all of a sudden now that's going to be a big tap into their budget because before, you know, you could say they got Windows 7. All right, they put it on their all the machines, they're doing the updates, and that runs for, you know, say 4 or 5 years.
Right.
No biggie. They, just spread that over time, you know, to get rid of the cost. But now if they're going to get nailed every year for every computer, and even if there's bulk, that's going to be another, big hunk out of their budget.
Yep.
Yep. For doing stuff.
So how many of them are going to switch to Linux or Chrome OS?
Yeah.
Right.
As a student in school, you should learn all the OSs. Because you should, well, especially right. if you're in a tech track,
right?
But I can see when I was in school, it was whatever company offered the best deal,
mm-hmm.
and so my college, go Roberts, we started with PDPs and CPM DEC mini microcomputers,
right?
And then we got Macintoshes, right? And we were always the odd school out because most of the other schools were IBM mainframes and then IBM mm-hmm. PCs. And so when I got out of school, I had a lot of job offers because I knew DEC PDP, I knew VAX, I knew VMS.
VAX.
And when I went back to Roberts for homecoming one week, all the Mac labs were gone and Windows labs were there now.
Yeah.
Because some Windows company came in and said, we can give you all these computers at a great deal. And unfortunately, most large institutions look at price, not quality.
Yeah.
And I can get a 100 lab machine for $10,000 less than the other company. Okay, I'm going to go for the cheaper one.
Most universities, most colleges, most schools in general have some sort of bulk deal already with Apple and with Microsoft and pretty much everybody who actually sells something. We used to renegotiate with companies every year to get, you know, X number of copies of something for our stuff. But every once in a while, we would run into a company who didn't offer discounts. Usually it was a one-off, you know, some product that there was only one company that made it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something we needed. Yeah. Right.
You were
like
damned
Bloomberg.
If you
did. God forbid they were going to take a penny off of anything ever. It was,
that's okay. I mean, over here, cause they've got a new, evidently they're setting up new cameras to surveillance the place. And now I can see the back of my head.
There you go. That camera's working.
Yeah. Well, right now. Yeah. You can see, I don't know where that goes to. Other than Rob, I know can see all of
it. There's a camera right there.
Yeah. But now before it was never in this square. I could never see in here.
Wrong finger?
You're number one with us.
Oh, don't. He'll start texting. Don't get him going.
If he didn't start texting when I said I can't see anything, he won't text.
You never know.
This is how we tell if he's listening or not.
Nice day. He's probably out mowing his lawn.
No. Or no, he's probably getting his boat
getting
ready.
Getting the boat ready.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dreaming. Exactly.
Got to get those oars going.
Yep. But yeah, so we don't know what the future is going to bring, obviously. But Microsoft has said Windows 10 as an upgrade will always be free.
Yep.
And that the next version of Windows, which will simply be called Windows, will be a subscription service.
Right.
We have, there's no two ways around it. They can change their minds again, but that's what we've heard. That's the latest we've heard.
I've shown two more folks Chromebooks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had one gentleman come in and his laptop just, he goes, well, I've heard you talk about a Chromebook. And I said, yeah. When you come in to pick it up, I'll show you mine. Because I said, so, before you, I said, now, what do you do with a notebook?
Yeah.
Well, mainly I'm going on there, check, you know, surf the web, check emails, might have to do a document or that. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything there you just described, you can do in a Chromebook. He goes, well, I already use Google Docs. I said, then you're there.
You're done.
I said, you just sold yourself.
Yeah.
I said, because that's what the Chromebook is. It's already there. It's just browsing. Yep. You can get your emails and everything else. And then I was showing him some of the other apps that you can put down there. He goes, wow. Here's the school. I better get one now because once they catch on, they're going to go up in price. And yep. It's the truth. I mean, maybe not right now, but next year, when all of a sudden, you know, if folks have to start paying the license fee and they know that this is going to be yearly, not every 5 years when they want to do an update or whatever, or came with the machine, that ain't going to cut it anymore. Sorry.
Right.
Your hose.
Well, it'll come with the machine, and then the price will be hidden in the cost of the computer.
Yeah. But yeah.
You'll have to pay the price, so you're going to just pass that on to the customer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's where, again, the Chromebooks are becoming more and more popular.
Yep. Also, you should definitely take a look at Cloud Ready and put it on an old laptop.
Cloud Ready?
Cloud Ready. It's from a company called Neverware. We talked about it last week or the week before. Company's called Neverware.com. I want to make sure that's correct.
Quoth the Raven.
Neverware. Yeah,
that's Nevermore.
Neverware.
Neverware, W-A-R-E.
Well, if I do a Google search on Cloud Ready.
Cloud Ready is a program that you download and install on an old laptop, and it turns it into a Chromebook.
Sweet.
There's one or two very little things that 99% of everybody doesn't do on a Chromebook that it won't do. Because it isn't actually from Google. But it's essentially, don't forget, the Chrome OS and the Chrome web browser are based on the Chromium OS and the Chromium web browser, which are open source products. So anybody can build a Chromium OS laptop, which is 99.9% identical to a Chromebook. So I've been telling people left and right, if you've got an old computer and you want to extend the life a little bit, you know, throw Cloud Ready on it, and it turns it into a Chromebook. Now, you still want something that's got a gig of RAM. You still want something that's, you know, got a semi-decent processor in it. But the rest of it, it'll all run. And
it doesn't have to be a typical Windows PC. They also support Macintosh.
I have put it on my daughter's old Mac. Yep. It was kind of amazing. And the price for individuals, hold on, let me think about that. It's free. If you are an educator, it's $59 one-time license per device. I don't know. Oh, that's because you get the Google Management Console with it. So if you're managing multiple machines, then you might want to pay the $59 a machine because it gives you the Google Management Console.
Yep.
You can determine what gets put on the machine. You can determine where people can go with the web browser. So you can lock the machines down to a specific set of things. But in terms of everything else, it is absolutely free for individual use, and it is really a hot little product. It's called Cloud Ready from Neverware. We're going to take a quick break. Back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you 41 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 46 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and
we're not going to jump.
We're not going to jump. No jumping. But we have Don from Greece on the line. We're going to jump to him. Welcome, Don. What's up?
Hi, guys. I'm running Windows 7, and I'd like to be able to display the .dot extension file name. How do I do that in Windows 7?
Oh, you open up any window.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me think for a second.
You think I'll Google?
Yeah, you Google. you go to any Windows extension, and I think there's a view menu, and there's a show file name extensions.
Folder options.
Folder options. That's where it is.
Start. Open up any window, do view.
You want to see them all or just one?
I want to see them all.
All. Control panels, appearance, folder options.
Yeah. If you want to see them all. So go to the control panel.
Okay.
Under appearance and
personalization.
Personalization. And then find folder options. And there's a list of folder options. Steve's putting a link on the website right now.
Okay.
On how to do that. But that's really all it takes. And then you can either show or hide them.
It used to be in the view menu of any window.
In the view menu of any window.
Right. Yeah, that's what I remembered, but
not there anymore.
No.
Yeah. So. Okay,
well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Good luck. Have fun.
Thanks. We'll do. Bye.
Yep. Bye. Bye.
I was just running over to do that.
It's all in the timing.
We just caused Dave to have more exercise than he's had in a while now.
He almost jumped.
almost.
But to go back to cloud ready, installation is a little bit of a pain in the neck. Read the instructions carefully before you try it. But if you got a very old laptop that doesn't do much else anymore, again, remember, if you're putting it on an old, slow machine without a lot of RAM, it's going to run slow. Get over that. And it takes much longer to boot up because it's not running. It's not going to boot up in 8 seconds because it's A, not running on an SSD card, and B, it's loading a full operating system.
That's one thing I love about the Chrome. Just as I open up the lid.
You're in.
Seconds. Boom.
And it takes as long to type in your password and hit enter as it does to boot up.
Yeah, because when I was showing it to that guy, he goes, wait a minute, you didn't touch any buttons. I go, I know. The minute you open it up, it knows enough to turn on. Yes. And is it always that fast? I go, yeah. Sweet!
My wife and I were watching a movie in the kitchen together at one point the other day, and she wanted to. She said, I know this guy in the movie. So I grabbed my laptop and she said, oh, I don't want to wait.
IMDb.org.
She said, yeah, I said, I don't want to wait. I said, well, I'm already in. Because my Chromebook, I just opened it up and boom, I was in.
Yeah.
And then it took me another minute to get to the IMDb and find it. But it was it's very fast and it's always ready. And you won't get the same battery life out of cloud ready that you will out of a Chromebook,
right?
Because you're still running on an old laptop.
Yeah,
still only get those few hours that you normally would get.
The hardware is still the same.
Right.
The only thing you're changing is getting rid of Windows for a different software. Oh, by the way, that doesn't get viruses, doesn't get spyware, doesn't get malware.
Right.
And that was the other thing, in talking to a few folks.
But you have to remember, you're still going to get those fake messages on websites.
Oh, yeah.
Claiming you're infected.
Well,
but now you can really ignore them.
I share Nick's story.
Yeah,
you know, because here he was running the Chromebook, and they're telling him his Windows is infected.
Yeah,
you better.
It happened here with this Chromebook.
That's what I mean. and they go, seriously? I go, oh yeah, but you know there are folks
who don't know what you're running or why you're running.
Really?
And
yeah,
I get that.
And they're so confused, and they think they got a call.
My students at RIT, you know, I will say to them things like, most users don't know X,
mm-hmm.
and they all look at me like I'm an idiot. But the reality
well, they'd
is
be right, but no.
they're right.
That's a different story.
It's a different story. But I have to remind them, do your parents know X? Oh, no. Well, your parents are most people.
Mm-hmm.
You are tech people at RIT. Trust me when I tell you, you're not the norm.
That's kind of the...
You're the exception to the rule.
Yeah, that's the test we use. Does your mom know how to do that?
Yeah. Right.
Would your mom understand? And some people's moms would, but...
Right.
Yeah.
But the reality is most people's parents, grandparents, if you had to give a computer to your grandparents and you were their tech support person, what computer would you give them? The answer is a Chromebook.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but the answer is a Chromebook.
Like I say, I've talked to at least 5 people now into Chromebooks.
Right. So when I go to buy myself a laptop, I already have a high-end desktop. I think it's about time to buy a new one, but I have a high-end desktop. I don't need a high-end laptop. I want something that lets me do a few things really well and quickly without ever having to do a lot of updating and farting around and everything else. Chromebook. Chromebook.
Yeah. It's there. And I mean,
yep.
If you really sit back, most folks sit back and really think about what they're doing on their laptop, especially laptops, maybe not desktops, but on laptops.
Right.
Right. You can find out they can probably do just as much, if not more, on a Chromebook because it'll be faster. And again, none of the spyware.
Right. I keep pointing to a friend of mine who does audio editing, video editing, and everything else on a Chromebook with online tools. And they work magnificently, do everything he wants to do. Mm-hmm. He puts out some gorgeous work, and all of it is being done online.
That's just mind-blowing. You can do video editing in a web app.
Is that unbelievable? Yeah. And it works.
Yeah. And like I say, even I have on my Chromebook Cirrus. Because, I download Sirius XM radio.
Oh, yeah.
They had an app for that. Put it on there. Boom. And I, because I've got that where I can travel. When I'm traveling, I don't lose stations.
Right.
And I love it.
Yep.
And I can listen to that there. You know, I mean, there's other apps for, like you say, editing photos and doing stuff.
Yep.
Even my Quicken now.
Everything's online
now. I'm switching over. It's like...
Everything is available online.
And it's secure. And folks, they could break into it. I go, not with the encryption. If they really want to get into mine, stuff, and get through, if they can get through the encryption and the passwords,
right, that's,
they got to really be desperate because you know what? I'm not one of the richest people in town.
Right.
Maybe if it was a Bill Gates or somebody else.
Right.
That's worth millions.
Well, the big thing is, of course, unless they've got a quantum computer in their pocket, which may happen in the next few years, but unless they've got one in their pocket, then by the time they break into my encryption, I'm dead and gone.
Yeah, see, that's kind of the thing. The encryption cannot be broken. That's the thing. The math works. Encryption cannot be broken.
Right.
All they can do is attack your password. So you want to make sure you have a good password.
Yep. Right. That's the key.
And then they go after your security questions. So if your security questions are too easy to answer or too easy to look up.
I tell people all the time, lie about your security questions and write down your lie. So let's say your security question is, what is your mother's maiden name? Your answer should be purple.
Whoa.
Or
I was just
chicken.
I was just thinking the same thing when you said your mother's maiden name. And I was thinking of color, and I thought...
That's exactly right, because...
We've been around...
Because even if they happen to know my mother's maiden name...
Or it's easy to look up.
They're not going
to
get it, right. Yeah. And it's easy enough to look up. They're not going to get it. So whatever you have... And by the way, that is not the answer to my security... That is not even my security question. But that is certainly not the answer to my security question. But that's the way to do it. Lie. There's nobody... Nobody's going to come to your house and arrest you because you lied about your mother's maiden name on a security question.
And sometimes, and Google has this annual security audit they do. In fact, if you fill out the annual security audit from Google, you get 2 gigs more free drive space. But check your security questions every now and then. We have people come into the shop all the time, and security questions, what's your favorite car? Well, 10 years ago when I made that question, it was this. I don't know what that was anymore.
You're right.
And so, if you don't remember the answers to your questions now, every year or two, go back in and make sure you update your questions or at least remember what your answers are.
Right. I wrote them down on a piece of paper, which I have in my desk.
Right.
I made,
sealed, put that little wax seal on it so you can know nobody broke into it.
Or sign across the flag.
See, I don't have to worry about that.
You're home alone. But still, right. So, I get that. And people need to, do we have time for a call?
Yeah, we got about.
We at least
three.
Got a time. We got a time for the question anyway, right? So Jason from Rochester, New York, is not there, so I don't think we have to worry about that.
Call back after the break, and we can we'll get you back on the air.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there in a second. Jason? Dave is checking to see whether or not. Jason is still waiting. We'll see.
Our marvelous phone system that we overtax every week.
Vamp till ready. Jason, are you there?
Yep.
Yay! What's your question?
A quick question for you guys regarding the Chromebooks. I know you use Google Docs, but there are some of us who feel more comfortable with Microsoft Office.
Okay,
and
sorry.
I've talked to you before about why I use it so that I have a unified application across all my devices.
Sure.
What I was wondering is I'm pretty sure you can access the Office online system for free.
Yep.
Would you, in your free time, would you be willing to try that out?
I have tried that out. I have tried it on my Chromebook, and it works perfectly.
It does work.
Now, it does not work on one of my Chromebooks because I've got an extension that screws it up. Okay. If I turn off my extension, it works fine on that one as well. I just haven't bothered to go back and look at what extension that is because I've got other places that I use it. So, but one extension has screwed it up, but I've got an app that also will turn off my extensions. If I turn them all off, it works perfectly.
And you can test that yourself by going into the Chrome browser on
any
computer and run Office, you know, docs.com. It's sneak. So there's docs.com, and Google is doc.google.com, docs.google.com.
Right, Microsoft, or live.com, or, you know, whatever Microsoft is calling it next week.
But, yeah, try it in Google Chrome, and that's pretty much the same as doing it on a Chromebook.
It's the exact same experience.
All right. Now, the question I have, though, is you've made mention that the Chromebook does work offline. Will they work offline?
That I do not know, and I doubt it.
Yeah, the web apps wouldn't work offline.
Because they won't work offline because there's no connection. Google Chrome essentially has enough of the Google Docs code in it to run offline, but not...
What you would have to do is if you downloaded, say, one of the docs from the cloud to, say, a flash drive, work with it, and then when you go back to it, go back online, you'd have to reload it back
up. But when you're offline, you don't have access to any of the applications on the Chromebook.
Correct.
That are online. So, that would probably be not...
But there may be an app for Chrome that will let you do that.
I don't know. I'll look that up.
There's probably an app for that.
There may be an app for that.
Yep.
All right, that was just my question.
Thank you.
You guys have really interested me in Chrome, the Chrome OS, and I figured I'd at least take a look at it. So
yeah,
yep. And like I said, I don't know if I know. I'm almost 99.9% certain that you cannot run offline with the Microsoft Docs stuff.
All right. Well, I heard the music, so you guys have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Yes, he is absolutely right. That music means that you have wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But we're going to get to do it again on the other side of this break. So don't go anywhere. Don't change that don't change that channel. I haven't quite got the break in my voice that Arthur Lake had. But we are going to take a quick break back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And Jason, Steve is going to post a list on soundbites.org as to all the things you can do offline in Google Chrome, which includes viewing and editing Office documents. Now, if you are using Google's own Drive, then there is an automatic sync where you can keep all your documents in sync so that they're always available offline. If you're going to use Office, then you have to think ahead. If you're going to be offline, you download the document to your drive or a thumb drive or wherever you want to keep it before you go offline. But yes, apparently, according to Google, you can in fact edit Google, not just Google Docs, but also Microsoft Office Docs offline with your Chromebook.
And you can also view PDFs offline.
Yep, and play some games. He's got a whole list of things there. It's not just, by the way, Docs. It's apparently also spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and probably presentations as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Google Drive app, Docs, Sheets, Slides, and Drawings.
There you go.
There's the whole ball of wax.
There you go. So, yeah, check that out. Steve's going to post it online in a moment, or it's already done. I don't know which.
Yep.
Already done. So check that out, and as we said, you can use it in your browser. Turn off your network connection on your laptop and see what you can do.
There you go.
Oh, no, it might not work. Because that might only work on a Chromebook.
Yeah, but, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're using the other
using Chrome cloud on a ready computer.
Right, yeah. Right. So that might be different. But according to Google, go read the using your Chromebook offline from Google and see what that has to say. Some pretty
interesting
stuff. I
gotta admit, their help when you Google Googles for information on how to do different things.
Yep.
It's very helpful. It makes sense.
One of the few knowledge bases that are really knowledgeable and helpful.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, they don't sit there and say, huh?
Well,
actually make sense. They must have an end user do it.
Well, but the big thing is they were born as an online company.
Yeah.
They never had a physical product. They never had a store. Mm-hmm. They never sent things out to stores. So from the beginning, if they were going to support customers at all, they needed to have an online presence to do that, and they figured it out.
And user-friendly.
That's
the big one.
Here's another news item. Hackers struck the Hollywood Presbyterian Medical Center last month. They encrypted files critical to running the hospital systems, and then they asked for money. After 3 weeks of operating without crucial computer programs, the Los Angeles hospital paid $17,000 in ransom to restore its systems. The attackers followed the pattern of other ransomware hacks by sneaking onto victims' computer systems, scrambling the files with an unbreakable code, and refusing to release them until the ransom is paid. Around the same time, two German hospitals along Los Angeles County Health Department saw their files seized in the same maddening way. While you may not be responsible for keeping sick people alive, you could face a demand for ransom, too. Consumer computers running Microsoft Windows software have already been frequent targets for ransomware. It has long seemed that Apple computers were immune, but news broke this week of the first ransomware targeting Macs. Yep. Because people report only a fraction of ransomware attacks to federal authorities, it's hard to say exactly how big the problem is, but the bad guys writing this code are getting more creative and sophisticated, and a crop of frightening ransomware tools with names like Locky and CryptoWall have plagued businesses and consumers alike over the past year. A report published Thursday by the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, a Washington, D.C.-based cybersecurity think tank, looks at how the growing network... I want to be part of a D.C.-based cybersecurity think tank because it sounds like you could do anything you want and it would be under that umbrella somehow.
Just think.
Right.
Sit there all day and think.
The Rand Corporation's the boon of the world. They think all day long for a fee.
Playing on Facebook, I'm free thinking. I'm letting my subconscious work while my conscience does something else.
Okay, everyone. Do not read his Facebook posts, whatever else you may do. Anyway, they looked at how a growing network of internet-connected household devices, from Samsung refrigerators to Nest thermometers, could make you even more vulnerable to ransomware attacks. That's right. Prepare to see your smart TV held hostage. But wait, there's good news, too. The report's authors point out several ways you can avoid becoming a victim of ransomware. None is guaranteed to work, but at least you'll know you tried. You really only have two choices. Pay up or use your backups. The two German hospitals struck by ransomware had backups of their critical files so they could laugh off the demand for money. With all the cloud services out there and the ability to easy-to-use external hard drives, you have plenty of options for backing up your files. This isn't a guarantee that you'll be safe from ransomware demands. You might get hit just before you need to turn in that important term paper or work project that you haven't backed up yet. Or you might be the victim of ransomware that also seeks out backup copies. Yep. That exists. So keep your backups up to date and off the main computer. How hard is this? So our question to you, do you have adequate backups? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. I see this all the time. People are always saying, oh, I got hit by a virus or whatever. I've only seen a couple of instances of ransomware. But my first, or I lost the file, or my thumb drive died, or whatever it happens to be, my first response is, have you got a backup?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you got a backup, you have no problem.
Right.
And every time, well, I meant to.
Yeah, okay,
then I meant to help you, but I didn't.
We almost have to qualify that question. You have a current backup.
Well, right.
Yeah, if a backup is about 6 months old. All right, then you've only lost that's, 6 months worth of
right,
data.
Then you have no backup.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
You got a backup only to that point in time. And don't tell me, you know, well, what about the other stuff? Because I've had that happen. It's like, it's gone. But I need it back. Well, then you should have backed up.
Yep. And I've been trying to see, so a lot of the ransomware will attack locally attached drives. So a USB drive for your backup, it will attack. I haven't found out on this latest Mac one if it can attack network drives or if it's just, is it USB drives or is it mounted volumes? Does it go out on your network and look for drives?
Right.
It could. I don't know if it does or not.
It certainly could.
Yeah.
People come up to me all the time, students in particular. My thumb drive died and my only copy of my thesis is on it. Can you do something about this? In my head, my response is, let me get this straight. It wasn't worth $5 to you to buy another thumb drive to back it up on, but it's worth 4 days of my time to try to recover? I don't think so.
My first thought is invent a time machine.
Right.
And go back and back up your drive.
Right.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, back in the days
And don't
when,
students get space on the RIT server?
Yes, they have metric bucket loads of space everywhere. Google Drive gives you 15 gig. Other places give you 10 or 5.
I've run into customers that don't trust the internal hard drive and will store everything on a flash drive. Well, flash drives have a finite life,
much lower than
a hard drive.
Right. And in fact, writing a flash drive is what kills it fastest. Reading doesn't bother it much. But at any rate, the point is back up. If you did not back up since you last put your hands to your keyboard, you don't have an adequate backup.
Back up your computer while you're listening to the show.
Exactly. What better time?
Yeah. So you can pay attention to us.
Exactly.
And let your computer do its backup.
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Tim, how are your backups?
You know, perfect timing on this because that's exactly why I'm calling.
No!
Yeah. Now, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I think I speak for a lot of people when I say a lot of us just don't know how to do backups, but let me state, I do backups all the time onto a separate hard drive and onto thumb drives, but I would kind of like to explore the cloud option and what would be ideal, paid or free if they're there, something that will do a regular, fairly effortless backup for me so that I know what I'm doing is being saved. So, mainly documents, perhaps pictures, video, media, stuff like that. So if you guys could elaborate on that, again, paid or preferably free if possible, something that's cloud-based that is hopefully as trustable as possible, I'll hang up and let you go with that.
Sure.
So thank you.
We can start out by saying that both Windows and Mac and Unix, all the OSs, come with built-in backup programs. And most of the OSs start nagging at you if you don't do a backup. But you have to notice that little flag. I was just setting up a new Windows PC yesterday. It's a little flag in the taskbar that says you have a problem to solve. And the problem is there's no backup yet.
You're right.
I was just setting up the computer and hadn't got to it yet. But thanks for telling me. So the OSs have a backup program built in. All you have to do is plug in a hard drive. What's kind of interesting on the most recent Mac computers is if you don't have an external hard drive, it will back up to the internal hard drive a little bit, which is better than nothing, but if your hard drive fails, you lose all that data.
Right.
So you want your backup to be a separate hard drive. Don't make it a partition of your main hard drive. And then for cloud storage, you generally have to pay for that. Generally speaking, it's about $5 a month per computer, so it doesn't necessarily be that expensive. But there's a service called CrashPlan, which is one of the cloud backup services. They have a neat option where you can back up to a friend's computer for free. So instead of paying them for their cloud, you put a hard drive on a friend's machine and put a hard drive on your machine for your friend. And all the data is encrypted, so your friend can't get to it anyway. But now you have an offsite, in essence, cloud backup. Because the cloud is just a hard drive on someone else's computer.
Right.
You have a free offsite backup that can work for you. And gives you that offsite. It gives you the cloud. Gives it to you disconnected from your.
But if you want, you can also pay $5 a month.
Yeah.
For unlimited backup to CrashPlan's right. own cloud.
Or $12.50 a month, and you can do up to 10 computers.
Right. Or for a year for $60 a month. So yep. Here's the thing: if you're going to buy somebody else's hard drive, if you're going to buy somebody else's hard drive for $120. That's 2 years of backing it up to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and most hard drives these days come with somebody's cloud backup service.
If not,
Western Digital and Seagate both have their own cloud backup drives, where that drive becomes a cloud in your house that you back up to.
Right, and there are a bunch of them that are out there. CrashPlan is one. iDrive, Carbonite does it. Backblaze, OpenDrive, SugarSync. Most of those charge. They go from Spider Oak, which charges $130, to the $60 a year things like CrashPlan and like that. So, excuse me, I beg your pardon. But iDrive, CrashPlan, SOS Online Backup, and Carbonite are very well thought of. And very high end products. So, and some of them are unlimited. So you get all the storage you want. And you know what? For $60 a year, is it worth $60 a year to know that your documents and mm-hmm. are all safe and encrypted and protected yep. and blah 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 blah? Is it worth $60 a year to you? I submit to you, yes.
Yep. Yeah. And the other thing is folks say, well, I don't always find the time to do it. Well, you know what? It doesn't hurt your computer. Turn off the monitor. You set it up with a schedule that it does it at night.
Right.
Or most of them will just do it automatically every hour or so. And so your first backup is going to take a long time, especially if you're doing it to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But then successive right. backups only do changed files.
Right.
And so that won't take very long.
Or new files,
right. So generally that doesn't take very long. You might even not even notice it running. Mm-hmm. And so you look at your last
Depending
backup
on
date.
Your machine.
Yeah, you look at the last backup date and it was 5 minutes ago and you don't even remember doing it.
Yep. You definitely will find that it's not a terribly difficult thing to set up. Once you set it up and it's running, you can move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go.
The problem with backing up by hand is you have to remember to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And most people do not.
Yeah, that was what Apple did some research when they came out with their Time Machine program built into the Mac 4 or 5 system versions ago. They found that only about 10% of the people surveyed had any backup strategy at all, and only about 10% of them had an automatic backup strategy. So most people's backup strategy is copy the file to a flash drive every now and then.
Right.
That's not good enough these days, especially with digital cameras, that you take a digital photo and there's no negative to recreate it anymore.
Right.
If your computer dies, those photos of the new baby are gone and you can't get them back.
That's right. Okay, Tim, I hope we answered your question. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we have Brian from Pavilion on the line. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm a proud member and also the newest member of the Linux community as of this morning.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice. Thank you.
Which one did you go for?
Actually, the install went really good, and I'm And the only problem I'm having with it, it picked up all my drivers, my video cards, and the like, but it won't connect to my Wi-Fi.
Okay. First, what type of machine did you put it on?
It's an IBM ThinkCenter. It's an old ancient PC.
Okay, it's an IBM. And what version of Linux?
I did the Mint Cinnamon.
Oh.
When did you download it?
Just last night.
Okay. There was a problem a month ago where the Mint Cinnamon installer got hacked and a backdoor was put into it and being distributed from the Linux Mint website.
Okay.
Apparently, it was hosted on WordPress with a bad administrator password.
Yeah,
I heard there was something bad with WordPress.
February 20th, so that was 2 weeks ago. So it wasn't right. Wasn't that long ago.
Is this a which? Do you know the model number of the ThinkCenter?
Oh, jeepers! No, I buy these things rehabbed off of one of the big resellers. Awfully stuff. So you think it's all right? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it depends on which version you have. There's different fixes for different versions.
Gotcha. It's a USB, wireless, a small, medium frame tower system. It's an older machine, maybe that's just...
How does the wireless connect to the computer? Is it internal PCI or external USB?
A USB dongle.
So that that has its own different driver then. It may work better with a PCI card, which is of course more expensive.
Okay, in the Linux Mint forums, there's a whole section on installing the right drivers for the right device.
Right, and I stayed up late last night reading through that until I got cross-eyed. I'm kind of more confused than I ended up learning.
They also have a list of compatible adapters where the drivers are already there. You might want to.
Yeah, it might just require a different adapter.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind that. I mean, this is a few years old.
Yeah.
Now, why does this say 2012 and the date on it is 2015?
I
didn't catch it,
Steve. No, asking me a question.
I found a list of the compatible wireless adapters, but the title says 2012, but the date published was February 2015. So it could be some of these may not exist anymore.
Right. So you've got this driver. It doesn't see the card, the device at all.
Well, no, it sees the device. I go into, I forget how I did it now, because I'm just getting used to this. So, you'll be in a hurry right now. But I went to the terminal window, typed in the LSID, I think.
LSID or LSHW.
It's finding it. It's finding the device at the computer. It's not talking to the wireless. And I know the wireless is working because, the whole rest of the house is fine.
Right. You may not have turned it on. You need to say, first you need to know what the name of the interface is, WLAN 0 or, it'll have some sort of number.
Okay.
Not number, name. F0 would be the first Ethernet wired connection, usually WLAN 0, WLAN 0 is the first wireless connection.
Tell us this on the replay if you can help me out. I don't have a very good connection with you today anyway on the phone.
How do you tell what the name of your adapters are? Is there a way to list your network adapters?
Yes.
It does. But it's kind of, again, I'm just new to it. And I'm enjoying it, but I'm just new to it. So it's a little bit...
Right. Okay, so what you do... for Linux to list your USB devices, the easiest way to do that for listing all your USB devices, but that's not really what you want to do, is it? You want to list your
network devices.
Network devices. That's right.
Most of the help is 404 level two. You know, I mean, I will figure this out, but a lot of it is over my head right now.
Right. Right. And that's the way it always starts.
Sure.
You can use the IF. You can use the IP command. IP space link slash no, IP space link space show.
Shell.
Show SHOW as in show me the list.
Give me information here. It shows the no carrier. I'm not going to bore the rest of your audience.
Well, but here's the deal. You'll see a list of them, and they will be numbered.
Okay.
One of them will be LO. That's the loopback. Ignore that one. You might see an F0, ETH0. That's wired. Then you should see a WLAN0 or something else, and that will be the name of your wireless connection.
Okay. I'm not seeing that, but...
What are you seeing?
The first thing is the loopback, which you said to ignore.
Yep.
Loopback uploader. The next one is ETHO semicolon, no carrier, broadcast.
Right, because you don't have anything on it. What's the next one?
Then that's it.
Just those two?
Yes.
Okay.
Does the computer have a built-in Ethernet jack?
I'm sure it does, yeah.
So that's probably the Ethernet one. See, mine on my BSD is showing up EN0, EN1, EN2.
Right. So you can also look at the USBs by saying LSUSB as all one word. LS, which is the list command, USB.
Right. Quite a bit to read here.
Yeah, but one of those should be the should theoretically give you the name of your of the company that made your dongle.
But actually, you know what? I'm not seeing that in this list. But I did see it elsewhere in my searching.
You could try LSUSB space dash V for verbose.
There's no way to find this in the GUI.
Oh, slash.
Probably, but I don't use Mint.
Yeah. So there may be the equivalent of control panels, and in there should be the equivalent of network settings or wireless settings.
Yeah, LSUSB space dash or minus V if it is in verbose.
Maybe it just hasn't joined the network yet. Did you join the network and type in your network password?
No, I won't. Let me get that far. It's not broadcasting from the machine to the hub yet. I'm not getting any signal from the machine to the... It's not recognizing the dongle.
Yeah, it probably needs a specific driver, which you would probably download from the hardware website.
Right. I looked at that too, but then the Linux was telling me that I had to run it under some other. It needed me to download something before I was able to install the driver, and then I got lost in that too. Again, I just started messing with this morning.
So. Mm-hmm.
Right. But
what's the manufacturer of the USB dongle?
Let me look again. It's a Netgear. It's Netgear N300, I think. So it's a very common piece. It's kind of a dozen.
And
N300 USB.
Yeah, and that's one of them that is generally supported.
Right. It's a very common piece. It's very primary at Walmart.
Yep.
Right.
I found a tutorial for how to load it, and I get there, and it says does not exist.
Yeah, right.
I know. There's lots of that. It was like, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Where'd you go? It's only a dime for this website for a year.
Look, there's a bunch of stuff we could be doing here, but it's really going to take a very long time.
When's the Lugar meeting?
I was just about to say what you ought to do is check out the Lugar meeting, Linux Users Group of Rochester.
That's hard for me. I work a lot of nights. It's really tough for me.
But I don't know what else to tell you beyond that. You might use mod info if you know the name of the device itself.
Mm-hmm.
You might use the term mod info space in the name of the device, like RT2800 USB, if that were the name of it, for example. And then you could type in mod info RT2800 USB. But because it doesn't even know you've got this device connected, you have to load a driver first. Yep. That driver can only come from the manufacturer of that device.
Gotcha. That's for sure. Do you think, just out of curiosity, I mean, it's no big deal because I'm just doing this to experiment with it. I'm not relying on a machine for anything other than listening to you guys, which is interrupting.
Yep. Have you found
my garage computer, my test machine? Yeah. But do you think maybe going to a different version of Linux first to break, to break my teeth?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have used various versions of Ubuntu on various versions of ThinkPads, not ThinkCenters. And had no issue. But whatever you go to, the fact that you're trying to do it wirelessly first is going to cause you a problem if it's a USB dongle. Gotcha. If you had an internal wireless card, I suspect you'd have...
This machine is so far away from the... I'd have to disrupt everything to plug in.
No, a wireless card.
Internal wireless.
Not a wired card. An internal wireless card.
Oh, I don't have that in this. No, I know this machine doesn't have that.
Right. But I'm saying if you had one of those, you can buy them cheap these days.
Mm-hmm.
For my money, it would be a fast fix to go grab one of those little internal wireless cards, throw it in a slot, reboot and let it find it and let it load the driver and see what happens.
Right. Well, any excuse to take this thing apart, I'm good with. So.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. have you found the?
I think I'll do that. That's good.
Have you found the linuxwireless.org website?
I went to so many last night. You know how it is. You guys, it gets personal with you, and you stay up so late that next thing you know, it all becomes just mud. So.
Right.
Then you call somebody and tell them thanks for keeping you up all night.
Yeah, or then the wife comes out and says, "What are you doing? You don't want to know." Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You make comments about their ancestry and everything else.
Yeah. And they're done that a few times.
Dad forgot to go to bed again.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate your help, and I plan on joining again here coming the next fun drives.
That starts tomorrow. We'll be here next Saturday.
Well, and you'll hear from me then, too.
All right, thanks.
And it looks like the next meeting of Lugar is this coming Thursday. At the Fairport Historical Museum, they're doing an OpenHAB demo, which is a open source automation software for your home. I might go to that.
There you go.
I'm in Fairport.
That gentleman brought
it up. Work soon enough.
Brought up a good point. He is a member in that, and like you said, the fun drive is starting tomorrow. But Friday night, they are having an open house here. So if you want to see, if you folks, our listeners on Soundbites, want to see where all this takes place, if you come on down here Friday night, the open house is going to go from 5 to 7. It's right here at Greece Olympia High School on Maiden Lane. And Tina Albright and the White Hots are going to be here playing, and some of the other DJs are going to be here, and they're going to have some light refreshments. So come on down, check it out, see the studio.
That would be Friday night the 18th.
Right, and see where it all happens. You'd be surprised, what we do in just such a small space.
Oh, and before I forget, tomorrow we spring ahead.
Yep.
So for those of you who actually still have a clock, you set.
Microwaves usually have to be set.
The car. Monday, which is usually Monday morning if you don't happen to go anywhere Sunday.
Yeah, right. If you don't happen to go anywhere Sunday at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
We still have that. And I don't want to get started on whether or not daylight savings time is still useful why we do it at 2 o'clock in the frickin' morning instead of, in the middle of an afternoon somewhere. I don't even care.
What year was it that we didn't do it?
Yeah, there were actually a couple of years.
We did it back, I think it was in the 80s or that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And you know what?
Nobody,
we're still here today.
Knows. Yeah.
The world didn't stop.
They have a movement every year to vote it out.
Yeah.
They also have a movement now to make all time universal time. I don't see how that's going to work, but fine. I suppose somebody somewhere gets up at, the sun rises at 3 a.m.
Yeah, the military often works on universal time or Zulu time, no matter where you are. So
right.
You go to work from 6 to 12 Zulu, and you just work out the time zone yourself in your head.
Right. All right, we're going to take another short break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-5299. toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All righty then. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
It's kind of a racy song for the.
Which well, it almost sounds like good for St. Patrick's Day, which, yeah. You know, downtown they're having the parade and everything else.
So that's right. Giles. So for those of you who are looking at a Microsoft update and wondering whether or not you should apply it, yes, Microsoft has fixed 39 vulnerabilities in multiple Windows components, Internet Explorer, Edge, Office, and the .NET framework, many of which allow for remote code execution. The patches are grouped in 13 security bulletins, 5 of which are rated critical and the rest as important. According to researchers from security vendor Qualys, systems administrators should prioritize the MS-16-023 security bulletin for Internet Explorer, which covers 13 critical vulnerabilities that can be exploited over the web to fully take control of computers. Windows 10 users who prefer Microsoft Edge to Internet Explorer should prioritize the MS-16-024 instead, which covers 11 vulnerabilities in Microsoft's new browser, 10 of them critical. Interestingly, Qualys places the Microsoft Office Security Bulletin, MS-16-029, next on its recommended priority list. This bulletin is rated as important, not critical, but does cover vulnerabilities that could result in remote code execution. On top of that, attackers commonly compromise computers by sending malicious Word documents packed with exploits. Then there's a couple of others. The deal is this, folks. You really need to keep your system up to date, particularly when an issue is this big. When you have 39 vulnerabilities in 13 security bulletins, 5 of which are critical, none of which is below important, you really need to do some updating. Many of these are easily exploitable. We expect to see them become a common tool in every penetration tester's toolkit. So have you installed the latest MS updates yet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you should be running some sort of anti-malware program. Check the Security Tango at securitytango.com. And you should be doing backups. What am I missing? And you should be buying a Chromebook.
I'm sorry, that's a lot of stuff to remember, but it is. It's a lot of stuff to remember.
It's a lot of stuff to remember.
Yeah.
You know, we are now all our own system administrators, and that means we have a lot more to do than we used to do. And because of that, we have just a bunch of stuff to remember and to handle every single time we do this. So you really need to pay a little more attention. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Paul from Brighton, New York. Hi, Paul, what's up?
Yeah, hi. By the way, I just noticed there's zero delay right now between what I'm hearing on the phone and the radio, so just let your technical people know.
Okay, thanks.
Following up on what you just were mentioning about the vulnerabilities that Microsoft is reporting, there's quite a few of them. And I, like many other people, use Microsoft. I'm still on 7. I guess I'm going to be going to 10, whether I like it or not. But what you just said with all those vulnerabilities, it, in effect, Microsoft seems to be saying, this is what I'm hearing, is that they are selling at the present time an operating system that doesn't work, that is too dangerous for people to use, that, is, that opens their systems up to being taken over by other people, having the data stolen or corrupted.
Well, there are okay, there's two ways to look at that. One is they're finding and patching all of those things. That's good. Mm-hmm. Other people are saying, I don't want to play in that arena anymore, and they're moving to Chromebooks or Linux or a Mac or something else that I'm not sure there is anything else that they feel is more secure, less vulnerable, blah 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 blah. And I get that. I absolutely get that. I as I said, I famously had not had a Windows machine in my home for almost 15 years.
Well, I've been using Microsoft operating systems for I guess more than 30 years now. And right up to the present, and we will. Every system has some vulnerabilities.
Right.
Nothing is perfect in this world. But there's a certain point where you have to make a decision: am I willing to live with this level of vulnerability compared to the inconvenience and expense of moving to another system, like whether it's Linux or Macintosh or some other operating system?
Well, and it's only inconvenient for a little while until you get used to the differences. But one of the problems that we've run into, there was a list that came out a few months ago. I'll see if I can find it again, where some company calculated and added up the total number of vulnerabilities that each OS reported. And the Macintosh had the highest number of vulnerabilities.
Macintosh?
Yes.
Really?
But the number of vulnerabilities, it doesn't really that matter. It's the severity.
Severity, of course.
Right.
Yes.
And
right.
So, you know, the Heartbleed bug in Unix was probably the most vulnerable problem last year.
Right.
But that was only one, so that didn't make their list. So I wish they would rank them by vulnerability.
Right.
And one of the problems we see most often in Windows are the zero-day exploits. And Java and Flash are the two biggest contributors to that, which aren't even part of Microsoft or Apple, but run on those systems. And so those types of vulnerabilities, you know, the number of them doesn't really matter because, you know, one of them is horrible and the severity is even worse than the number.
But when you hear, you know, month after month, the number of vulnerabilities that new ones that are occurring.
Yeah.
Apparently, each month seems to be greater than the previous month.
Well, what one of the ironies we've seen in the Windows world is they're sort of on alternate months. So one month there might be three or four, the next month there might be 20 or 30. And you know, does that mean anything? Well,
right.
that means that the programmers were working harder one month than the other.
I mean, we're reaching a point now where IT support, whether it's at Microsoft or at various companies or even personal effort that individual users have to use, the amount of effort and time and expense you have to put in to securing your computer, just maintaining it to be safe, is becoming almost the majority of time you're spending on the machine. That's an exaggeration. And that's
why all the OSs have put in automatic updating so that you don't have to worry about that. But then the bad guys take advantage of automatic updates sometimes, too.
Automatic updating, by definition, is another vulnerability.
Yeah.
Kind of at a catch-22 point.
Right.
And so the alternative is don't use a computer.
We got along for thousands of years with pencil and paper. Maybe we should go
back. See, now, but pencil and paper is vulnerable because someone else with a pencil can mark on your paper.
Yeah.
Right. Or steal your paper and see what's on it.
But at least they can't steal millions at one time. They can steal yours.
Yeah.
Right. So. One of the things that is interesting about Chromebooks is that they were designed in the era of vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
So one of the things that happens in a Chromebook, which is really very interesting, is when it leaves the factory, which is there's still, you know, areas of vulnerability there. Somebody could, I suppose, sneak into the factory and change the ROMs. But when it leaves from the factory, there are two versions of the operating system on the machine. And one is a check against the other. So every time you boot it, it checks the two against each other. And if the one that's running is not right, it won't boot until you go to Google's website, which has its own set of safeguards, to download a new version. And every time you do download a new version, it has other checks that it has. And it is so far the only operating system that actually has that. And that's because, you know, Windows and Linux and the Mac are all, in terms of computer years, ancient operating systems.
Even when they come out with a new version, it's based on the old version. They haven't rewritten it from scratch in ages. When Apple switched to OS X, that was in 1999.
Right.
That was the last time they started from scratch.
Well, I'm sure you weren't trying to give us a commercial on Linux, or rather on Chromebooks, but it's certainly something to consider.
Yeah. No, I wasn't, because there are, you know, not everybody should be running a Chromebook for everything. I get that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is most of these operating systems are ancient, and therefore the vulnerabilities are kind of baked in.
Good opportunity now for someone to write a brand new operating system.
Well, and they're out there, but who's going to switch to them?
Yeah. Well, that was the point of Linux, but then he based that on some of the previous open source Unixes.
Right. And there have been others, other operating systems that we've never really heard of, because they're just, you know, until they have an operating system is one thing, but all of the programs that go around it are something else entirely. And until there's enough of a mass usage to justify companies writing all those extra bits, then those are simply never, ever going to make it.
Okay.
Yeah. And most people live with what they have, grumble when they get infected, and are most annoyed when they get infected again.
Yep.
And that's, jokingly, the cost of doing business.
Yep.
That's, We've come to rely on them so much, we can't live without them. We hear that all the time in our shop. Well, I can't live without my computer. Well, it's broken. You're going to have to.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Sure.
Thanks.
Yep. And, you know, unfortunately, that's sort of the world we live in now. You know, we've grown so dependent on these devices. And like every generation or two has them. You know, before cars were that common, you had your horse. And,
right.
You know, before horses, you had to walk. And so everyone, so you, then your shoes were that important.
Right. Hoof and mouth.
Yeah.
All right. We are done for another week. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. Apologize to those to whom we did not get. Please call earlier next week. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in any universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 165 hours, and don't forget to spring ahead. Bye-bye.